This is the three at three on Wisconsin's afternoon news.
Number one, Telly, at least we're not this person in Door County. The person was pulled over for speeding, already not good. Then they took a look at their front light because it looked dim. And you know what it was? It wasn't one of the headlights. It was a flashlight.
Oh, wow.
Like, you know, a handheld flashlight?
Yes.
So they say that it is not road legal, not safe. Headlights are designed to provide powerful, consistent visibility, especially in Door County this time of year. There's no street lights. The department used this moment to remind drivers to give their cars a quick equipment check before hitting the road, preferably by placing broken headlights with actual headlights. And if you text LIGHTS to 855-616-1620, LIGHTS to 855-616-1620, it'll take you to the page where you can see it yourself.
That's probably not good even in the summertime, but like you said, in the winter, it's getting dark early
and right.
Yeah, that's never a good thing.
So text LIGHT.
Yes, you got to see that. Number two. Governor Tony Evers on Friday vetoed a bill that would have, among other things, created a fine for people who fake the need for a service animal or emotional support animal. The Wisconsin Senate approved the bill, which the Assembly had previously approved on November 18th. But in a letter to the Wisconsin Assembly, Evers said he wants to prevent fraudulent representation, but vetoed the bill because he felt it unfairly affects people with disabilities who have legitimate needs. He also said the bill should have been developed with input from disability advocates and stakeholders. The legal protections differ for service animals versus an emotional support animal, and the bill would have created a $200 fine for falsely claiming to have a service animal and a $500 fine for providing false documentation of an ESA or emotional support animal. And Julia, I'm going to tell you that I learned a lot, just the difference between the two animals, but didn't know that this was a big deal in terms of people fraudulently saying they need these animals. And I will say this, I kind of agree with Governor Evers on this one. If you're going to develop a bill that is going to impact disabled people who actually need service animals, you might want to check with the disability advocates and stakeholders in this before you pass a bill, or at least try to.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of people texting LIGHT, by the way. To look at that.
Yes.
That makes don't follow it. Use it as an example not to do that. Oh, a handheld light was being used as a headlight.
Yeah.
LIGHT to 855-616-1620.
Not good.
I still can't get over the photo. All right, number three. The nominations for the Golden Globes are out, and there are two actors nominated for portraying real-life Wisconsin people. It includes Kate Hudson, who plays Clara Sardinia, a member of the Neil Diamond tribute band Lightning and Thunder, which started and began in Milwaukee. She's nominated for Best Female Actor in a Musical or Comedy. And we know that Hugh Jackman came here to Wisconsin, and yeah, he was not nominated. Can you believe that?
Well, it just happened, so I think maybe the nominations
robbed.
Maybe were already in or something, but or he could have been robbed.
Total snub. The other Golden Globe nomination that has Wisconsin connections goes to Charlie Hunnam, who's nominated for portraying the infamous serial killer from Wisconsin, Ed Gein. Ooh, he's nominated for Best Actor in a Limited Series. Other notable nominations, Wicked Actresses, Cynthia Erivo, Best Actress, Ariana Grande, Supporting Actress, but the movie is not nominated for Best Picture.
Oh, wow.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
Another surprise. So you know how Hugh Jackman isn't nominated for Best Actor in a Motion Picture?
Uh-huh.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is. For his role in The Smashing Machine.
I'm going to admit, Julia, I checked out of Golden Globes and all those award shows years ago because they never make sense. And the people that get snubbed is actually the bigger story than the people that get the awards most of the time. So,
did you hear about this movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, who like was my... I thought I was going to marry him one day. Back in the day. One Battle After the Other, that movie?
No, I'm not familiar with it.
It had the most nominations, including Best Picture, 9.
Well, what's the name of it again?
One battle after the other.
One battle after the other. Maybe I'll go check it out now.
Lifetime Achievement Awards will go to Helen Mirren. She'll get the Cecil B. DeMille Award. You may know her from the movie The Queen. And Sarah Jessica Parker, you know her from Sex and the City?
Oh, yes, yes.
She gets the Carol Burnett Award for Lifetime Achievement in Television.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There you go. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about an ocean spray investigation. K-cars, have you heard of those? Donald Trump wants them to be in the U.S. We'll talk about that. And also, a Cinnabon worker who was fired. We'll tell you why. Ocean spray. We know that, right? For all the cranberries, we have a lot of cranberry farmers in Wisconsin. Ocean Spray describes itself as a cooperative of about 700 family farmers, and the majority of the U.S. cranberry production comes from Wisconsin. Now, it's caught in these viral videos, this big company, Ocean Spray, where it claims cranberry sauce cans, they're opened, and it's filled with water. So apparently, there's been a statement that was sent to the Associated Press by Ocean Spray saying millions of families enjoyed their cranberry sauce this Thanksgiving, but even one can of sauce not meeting expectations matters. We've reached out to the people who have shared these videos to learn more and make it right. And in one video posted on TikTok, a user says, "This is not possible." And then they open up another one and that happens. But many people are commenting, "Is this a hoax? Was this staged?" You'll have to stay tuned, but Ocean Spray is on top of it. 323 on WTMJ, $50,000. That's the new cost of a brand new car. The average new car in the country, $50,000.
I couldn't imagine my first car. I mean, if I heard that number, I'll never get a car.
I know. That makes me think of the people that we work with who use the bus. Yeah. Adam, Isaac, I can see why.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
That is insane.
So apparently there's these new cars called, and they're made out of Japan, and they're the K cars. They're very, very small cars that the Trump administration wants authority to start making, manufacturing, building, and selling here at a lower cost. So I spoke to Ray Shevska. He's a co-founder of Car Edge. It's a leading consumer advocacy platform, about what he thinks. Could this happen?
More than likely, they never will be.
Why?
Like anything that comes out of Washington, the devil is in the details. And we don't have all the details yet. But the important thing that President Trump said is he wants them to be built and sold in America. Well, the regulatory changes that would have to happen before they could ever be built and sold here are, I don't know, I couldn't even begin to guess how many years that might take. So the likelihood of actually getting regulatory changes to allow these type of vehicles to be utilized in this country, and then to build the factories to actually produce them, I don't see that happening anytime soon, especially when the whole concept was, well, we need to have more affordable automobiles, and we need that today. None of this is happening today or tomorrow or next year or the year after that.
Interesting. Could they speed up the regulatory barriers and just have them imported here?
Well, they wouldn't meet any of the safety regulations in this country. You can bring in classic K cars that are 25 years old or older, you can apply to do that. There's about 7,500 of those that come into the country every year. Those are for like collectors and car people, the car enthusiasts that just say, oh, I got to have one of those. I don't necessarily see these cars being utilized as the affordable option for most people. And the idea is that, well, the average new car transaction price today is approaching $50,000, so we need less expensive cars. But there's no profit margin in those less expensive cars.
Do you see any positive, if maybe in a few years Americans would actually buy them, what the positive would be? Or do you think that it would disrupt any pricing and squeeze American automakers?
If you look at the details, who's going to build them? The General Motors has said, oh, we've got a broad range of cars for all types of customers. They're not interested in building them. Ford's not interested in building them. every one of those manufacturers gets squeezed on profit margin for the lower priced cars. That's why most of them continue to build the high profit margin, high priced vehicles. Do we need to figure out a way to convince Americans that it would be okay to drive smaller vehicles? Yes, we need to figure out a way to do that. Has the automobile industry in this country spent the last 50 years convincing people that what they need are big vehicles? Yes. Yep. So it's going to take a lot of time to convince people to go small again. You know, they've invested billions upon billions upon billions of dollars convincing everybody they need a big SUV or a big pickup truck when, I don't know, a regular size sedan might have done what you need to do.
So is this an empty promise that the administration's making, do you think?
Well, I think when you look at the details, I don't see how it happens. It's a great talking point. It sounds wonderful. It just sounds phenomenal. My God, we could have these small, tiny cars with 660cc engines in them. They won't work. It's a novelty item. It's not meant for this market, but it sounds great when the president says it, because we need to address affordability. You have to look at the practicality of how you address that affordability, and asking manufacturers to build new facilities and new plants to build tiny micro cars doesn't seem like that's really the way it's going to happen.
That's Ray Shevska, co-founder of CarEdge, a leading consumer advocacy platform on those K vehicles. He says they're not going to come. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Wisconsin's afternoon news on WTMJ.
3:37 on WTMJ. Okay, I've been to this mall before in Ashwaubenon.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 10 minutes outside of Green Bay. It's Bay Park Square Mall. And a Wisconsin Cinnabon employee was giving this couple caramel pecan on their cinnamon roll. The couple said, "Hey, can I get a little more caramel?" That's it. Just wait. And then it turns into a racial tirade by this Cinnabon worker who was fired after this back and forth.
That I am racist.
For
and
real.
You are
an idiot.
No, I'm not. Racist, and I'll say that to the whole entire world. Don't be disrespectful.
You ruined your life, by the way.
Oh, you're talking about respect? You are fired from this place, motherfucker. You're not gonna be working here.
Suck it.
Suck what? Look how you look like.
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you? You ugly.
Ugly? Talking about ugliness?
Did I stutter?
So, yeah, she did stutter. You did stutter at the end of that. But her name is Crystal Wilsey, 43. It's terrible. She said the N-word, the F-word, and this is a Somali couple, a black Somali couple. She was making fun of the woman's headdress. And she's doing two middle fingers at the camera. She knows she's being filmed. And she says, "Yes, I am a racist. I'm racist, and I'll say that to the entire world. Don't be respectful." And that person was right. You're ruining your life, because now she's made worldwide news for what she did. Cinnabon, by the way, has since fired her. They say this has nothing to do with their ethics. Her actions and statements are completely unacceptable. No way reflect the values of Cinnabon, our franchisees, or the welcoming environment we expect for every guest. We're aware of the deeply troubling video of a former employee at the independently owned and operated Cinnabon Bakery in Ashwaubenon, Wisconsin. The woman seen in the video was immediately terminated by the franchise owner. We take this situation seriously and remain committed to ensuring all guests are treated with dignity, respect, and kindness every time they visit one of our bakeries. By the way, she was giving a lot of those epithets as she was putting more caramel onto the Cinnabon. What is going on? And she was showing her behind to them and saying all these racial epithets. They're going back and forth.
Yeah, sometimes when these type of incidents happen, Julia, I am more baffled by the statement as much as the action itself, because I'm sure this woman did not mention during her interview that she was a racist and an open racist. So, of course, this is something that you don't agree with. And but what are you doing that's vetting your employees to make sure something like this doesn't happen? Are you asking questions like that during the interview? Or, I mean, are you being lied to? There's a lot of things that from a company or employer standpoint that I take issue with, because this isn't something that just so happened, just come up one day. I mean, it's not like one day I just show up and I go on this racist tirade and then all of a sudden there's no one around that knows that I felt this way. Mm-hmm. So that's the other thing. And you look at the fact that this woman probably has a lot of people around her that think the same way. Let's just be honest.
Check this out, Telly. So now there's, you know, the GoFundMe websites. There's something called GiveSendGo.com. Someone created Meet Crystal, Stand with Crystal, a hardworking white mom doing her job at Cinnabon. Two Somali customers decided to make her shift hell with intimidation. They did a GoFundMe. They've raised so far, Telly, $112,000.
Wow.
I would like to know, I'm sorry, I would like to know every person that did that donation.
I'm sure GoFundMe, this is exactly what they designed this website for. For someone to go on a racist rant and then play victim
and then
they stand with her. So why are we giving her money? Are we giving her money because, I mean, there's no charges filed. She doesn't need an attorney or anything like that. And I'm sure she'll get another job. So when you are donating money to this, in my opinion, and this is strictly my opinion, you are advocating for this. You're saying, okay, like, we support you.
Yeah, there's a line here I want to ask you in the break what this means. And it says, we're letting this slide. No white person should lose their job for refusing to be harassed by Somalians. What is going on, man? She has a long rap sheet too.
Yeah, I mean,
I want to puke.
I mean, we are living in a day and age where
that's wrong.
Nothing is wrong. That's the problem.
Oh,
there's nothing wrong, and everyone wants to find a way to say I'm right or be justified for actions that typically isn't right.
Someone just texted and give me a break. They can't find employees to begin with. Okay, I'm not looking for a racist employee. What are you talking about, 414? Yes.
Yeah, and the same person said after the interview, maybe, but during the interview, you want to ask the, are you a racist question? Let's use some common sense here.
Guys.
Of course, you're not going to say that. There are many things that you're asked that don't come out as bluntly as that. So, I mean, let's think about this and let's figure out, okay, let's look at it for what it is. This is a person that is supposed to be
representing a company. Come on.
And you just go off because someone asked for extra caramel?
Yeah, give me a break.
Yeah.
She's a total freak. Netflix is attempting to buy Warner Brothers, but Paramount is now trying to beat them out with a hostile takeover. We have ABC's Alex Stone on the Talk and Text line. Alex, get us up to date.
Yeah, hey guys, this is all the talk of Hollywood where I am right now, and President Trump has been weighing in. Trump met with Netflix CEO Ted Sarandos in the Oval Office. He's calling him a great man. But then on the other side, Paramount side, the investment firms that are leading the deal, one of them is led by Jared Kushner and the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and Qatar. So big political influence, very close to the president, and big money behind the other deal and all this. But basically, Netflix offered just shy of $28 a share, and Warner Brothers went for that unanimously. The board said that they like that deal. Now, Paramount is saying, wait a second, we offered $30 a share. Nobody even got back to us, and so now they're making a hostile bid for Warner Brothers. We understand maybe looking today, their board meeting, if they're going to go even above $30 a share. But today, Paramount CEO David Ellison was on CNBC saying,
what we're creating by putting these two companies together is a real competitor to Netflix, a real competitor to Amazon, a real competitor to Disney, not something that is so anti-competitive there will be no more competition in Hollywood if this deal is allowed to come to pass.
So now the Paramount deal would be for Warner Brothers and some of the things Netflix doesn't want. HBO Max, CNN, film production that the Netflix offer would not include, and Warner Brothers would have to find somebody else to buy. And Warner Brothers board unanimously approved it, and today is telling shareholders that's not changing, that that the board stands behind the Netflix deal. And a little while ago, Netflix CEO Ted Sarandos, he was at the UBS Global Media and Communications Conference in New York, sounding like this is a done deal. It's not, but sounding like it was a done deal.
We are going into a deal that we are really excited about. We think this deal with Warner Brothers is good for shareholders. We think it's good for consumers. We think it's good for creators. We think it's great for the entertainment industry as a whole, because we're creating and protecting jobs in production.
But Julia and Telly, there are a ton of antitrust concerns around the whole thing. If Netflix owned Warner Brothers, a Netflix offer would be for almost $83 billion. It would be the biggest sale of a Hollywood studio ever. But there's a lot of feelings on this. Some in Hollywood who believe that this would be the worst thing ever, would ruin competition, would have everything in the hands of one studio. Others saying, no, this would be a huge amount of money, would revitalize Hollywood for TV and movies, and that there would be a ton of money to get projects screenlit. But some real passionate feelings on both sides.
So I had AT&T stock, and then Warner Brothers Discovery spun off, so I got extra stock then. And it was like $17, $18 a share when that happened. So, wow, Alex, this has gone up a lot. So you think that Paramount could offer more than $30, huh?
Well, it appears they are discussing that right now in a meeting, and that may be a thing. But the other part of this really would be the antitrust, especially with Netflix. It would combine Netflix with the home of DC Studios and Harry Potter and a lot of others. We talked to Dominic Patton, executive editor of the Hollywood site Deadline. He said that's the biggest thing here.
Simply put, you take Netflix, the biggest streamer in the country and in the world, with the third biggest streamer in the country, HBO Max, and you do have more than 51% of the streaming audience.
So if you were the SEC or others looking at antitrust, you know, you might look at that and say that's too much. And it's hard to tell where the president comes down, because he's calling Netflix CEO Ted Sarandos a great man, saying that, but maybe this is too big of a deal. Then on the other side, Paramount, with their investment firm, the leading one led by Jared Kushner. And so at this point, Warner Brothers is telling shareholders, don't do anything right now, that this is all being figured out, but not to do anything.
Alex, do you think that President Trump's relationship with Larry Ellison and David Ellison play a big part in this? Because it seems like he's kind of on both sides of this.
It does seem like he's on both sides, and no doubt that the CEOs are trying to play the friendship a little bit. The fact that Sarandos was in the Oval Office in recent days, and then the friendship of the Ellisons, and that if you get at least when it comes to getting approval from the administration and antitrust and all of that, in those concerns, it's going to help to have the president on your side. But it's really not clear, because he seems to be saying, I like both of these sides, which side he wants to go with.
You'd think that Netflix would want CNN and everything, right? Because they were trying to do that live stream that went horribly of the Tyson fight. Remember that, Telly?
Yes.
And Alex? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like choppy.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like really what Netflix wants is the content that comes along with Warner Brothers, of DC Studios and Harry Potter. We've seen Disney, the parent company of ABC News, we always have to say. We've seen them buy content before from Marvel and others. And content is what makes the money. So they seem to not want to deal with a lot of studio production, even though some of that is involved. And of course, Netflix does a lot of it, but they outsource a lot of that and pay for production companies to do it. They don't seem to want to be dealing with HBO and HBO Max and the competition to the Netflix brand. They don't want to seem to be wanting to deal with a newsroom and all of that. So, yeah, there's some interesting aspects to this, where Paramount is then saying, you know what, we'll take it all. We'll give you $30 a share. We'll take it all off your hands, and you'll be good to go.
Wow. ABC's Alex Stone. Alex, thank you.
You got it. Thanks, guys.